B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Channels in here. RRR, what in Playtus?
No, it's too young for RRR.
Right.
92.9?
Yeah, give it to them. Give it to them.
And it's Portugal the Man. Sorry, it's not Portugal.
Portugal the Man.
That ain't no man. Again, what's the cost of ticket to this thing?
That we don't know. I've not seen it.
Good price.
Look that up, Sarge.
Is it a three-day ticket or is it 3 days?
13-hour drive. Drive from hell to begin with. Be on a weekend.
August.
Traffic will be even worse.
Heat.
Because of the summer. The heat.
Heat.
Someone stupidly probably didn't take enough water, so someone's going to pass out. It's probably free. Probably pay parking, right?
I'd imagine.
What the hell is this?
Who?
What's this up here?
What is that? Oh, that's you on the right.
Jesus.
Where was that?
So August 1996.
Woodstock.
So I was fat.
Zoe.
Oh, cow Zoe.
Out of Patriots.
Okay.
There's Bledsoe.
That's a Vince Neil concert. Wow. Brooks and Dunn and Vince Neil.
Look at the outfits.
Not Vince Neil. Vince Gill.
Look at you guys.
Wasn't Vince Neil.
I was all excited. Yeah. I thought it was Vince Neil and it was Vince Gill.
That is so
right?
90s.
Yeah. He sat there and sang love songs all night. Turn it off now. Get it off. It's like Fat Felger. It's disgusting.
You're so young in that picture. So young.
I'm saying. You're younger now. Jesus. I can't even look at it. Well, who's this?
I think the point is, though, even when you were that young, you still wouldn't have liked any of this music.
Right.
Everyone's saying, oh, look at you. You're showing your age being this. No. It's a taste in music. It's not an age
thing. It's like what floats your boat, man. You either want to rock or you don't.
I got the ticket information.
What do you got?
So it sounds like it's not official yet, but it's looking like for the 3-day pass, $126 each day. Yeah.
It was all free in 69. Everything just broke down. The walls came down. Everything just went.
If I'm reading this correctly,
it's all corporatized. Wow. You're better off going to Disney World. You get better bang for your buck at Disney. You get the meal pass and everything.
Now hold on.
4-day park hopper.
$126 for a 4-pack of lawn tickets. So divide that by 4.
Okay. That's
more reasonable.
Sense.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
Okay.
$124 a person to get in. Kiss my ass.
Yeah. So $38.50 for lawn tickets. There you go.
What's the location? What town is it again?
Watkins Glen.
It's
right?
Bethel, New York. I think what it comes under.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean. Max Yazger's farm.
Huh. How far from the city?
Oh, it's like 3 hours, I think.
All right, let's go to Dave in Bridgewater. Has more on Woodstock. What do you got, Dave? Dave,
what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
You guys, you're killing me. I was calling just to give a couple of memories of Woodstock '94, but I'm listening to you. You sound like my grandparents trying to decipher a Twitter feed. Like, holy cow! It's not about age or taste in music. It's pure ignorance. You guys haven't heard these bands. Rival Sons is a badass rock and roll band.
They're great. It's awesome.
The Black Keys, man. You haven't heard of the Black Keys, though?
I heard the song. I know the song quite well. We wear it out here. Well,
they've been around for decades. They're not even a new band. They're a great, great band. Dan Auerbach, he's a killer blues-type bass musician. Anyway, Woodstock 94, it was a rainout. It was a nightmare by the end. But I walked in the first day, Rolling Hills, Green. It hadn't rained yet. Blues Traveler was on stage.
Oh, that's right. I remember they were there.
Yeah. And two young ladies walked by me wearing backpacks. They were only wearing backpacks. That's the image I'll leave you
with. It's a freak show there, right? I had buddies that went in the late 90s, and they said that literally they just went to the bathroom and themselves. When it started raining, they just said, screw it. They're not standing in lines. You're not going out in trees. You're in mud everywhere anyway. And just the awful, just debauchery and smell that came out of that place. And it was worse in the 70s, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
There's a movie. No, go see the movie. It's all there.
It's nice. There's some nice concept about sitting in a seat in a theater and, you know, kind of stretching out and maybe going to get some popcorn or a beer if you want it from the beer dispenser.
This is not that.
You know, bathroom.
Yeah, so you're not a music festival guy. You're not that.
Oh, no. I do like a good festival if it's happening. Because I've gone to the ones in...
Like Lollapalooza, those type of things?
No.
That was a long time ago.
But... No, like I go to the big, massive country cook-offs down south, like when Brooks and Dunn play them. So it's like, shoot, who was it? It was Brooks and Dunn. It was Jackson.
Alan Jackson?
Alan Jackson.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Who the hell else is there?
Toby Keith?
Yeah, Keith may have been there. Yeah. But, I mean, they bang it out down in Florida. Like all
Jimmy
of the fairgrounds.
Nego too?
Who?
Jimmy Buffett?
No, no. You gotta see Buffett. He does a song with Alan Jackson.
Yeah.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's go to let's take one more call. Let's go to Jim in the car. What's up, Jimmy? Hey.
Jim.
3, 2, 1.
Hey.
Hey,
this is Jim.
Oh, hey, it's Scott. Hi, Jim.
How are you?
Hi.
Jim from Westford. I wasn't in the car, so that's why he screwed me up.
Sorry. Thanks for hanging.
That's okay. Hey, I was just going to say, too, going back a little bit, you remember from The Jerk, your special purpose, Steve Martin and his special purpose?
Yeah.
But anyways, I was going to ask Dan, you know, going back to the Red Sox and stuff, I don't understand how they're throwing out all this big money for the contracts now when the sport is on the decline. You know, you don't have as much people watching it.
The television
revenues are down.
You know, the television revenue,
you know?
Yeah, well, you're incorrect. I mean, the television revenues, we just figured out, like, look at the TV revenues, the local TV revenues of some of these teams. The Angels, we were talking about it last night, and I think it's like, it's hundreds of millions of dollars in television revenues, the local TV markets. I mean, people watch baseball on TV. It's older people, demographics older. We know the thing. Attendance flattened out. It's gone backwards the last couple of years. It's not a big social media. It's not a popular sport with the young people. We get that. But they can still, they make a lot of money. The players are getting half the money. The owners are getting the other half the money. The money's there.
Tampa is a really big one.
Old people watch television. They don't
and
go to the games, and they watch. They put the Rays on, and they watch it.
Yeah,
it's nutty. There's not a lot of incentive for those teams to draw fans or to compete.
Right.
They get the TV money locked in.
Yeah, they're in bed by 8:30.
Yeah, why not?
You know, TV's still on while
stays on.
Yeah.
Helps the ratings.
Yep.
Fall
I mean,
asleep.
It's sort of like the NCAA tournament. It's not a big like talker, and it's not a big talk show thing. But people watch. They enjoy it. It's like background noise.
I agree with that. Because I don't watch any college football. I mean, excuse me. I don't watch any college basketball.
Yeah.
But I kind of tune in for the tournaments over the weekend. There's nothing like these. Duke and Carolina ACC tourney and the way that Zion kid played.
ACC tourney was great.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah. I can't wait to watch him play in a tournament again. And then, of course, once you start watching, it's not about the favorites. It's like, which 11 seeds? You know, maybe a
Sister Jean last year.
Sister Jean,
that's right.
I want more Sister Jean because Adam Jones so much hated Sister Jean and rooted against her that I wanted Sister Jean to win the whole damn thing.
Of course it was. She's like the nice lady in the world.
And it goes to everything that's against Adam Jones, and that's why I was rooting for her.
Maryland, Baltimore County last year. Remember that?
UMBC, right?
Oh, yeah, over Virginia. Big upset.
UMBC. What did they just retweet somebody about something?
UMBC?
Yeah.
I don't know.
UMBC.
Yeah. Check it out. Something was happening. Well, that's besides the point. All right. We started the show talking about all four big teams, really, because I think there's something to talk about. The way the Bruins are playing. Celtics got issues right now. What the hell is going to go on with them? Patriots in the midst of kind of signing people, not kind of signing people. Draft is coming. All of that. Red Sox getting ready to start. You got the comments today, finally, about a contract, meaning Mookie Betts and potentially where that thing
not
could be
not a good had. Day for Red Sox fans.
Not a good day for Red Sox fans. We'll get into all that next. Started the show with it. We pick up right there where we left off.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
To hear this at Woodstock, play the contest. What is this song? Something you hear at Woodstock? No, obviously not. This song's cool. This would be great to hear in the summer out in the lawn. Hey, congratulations, Major League Baseball. First game in the books. 3 hours and 25 minutes.
It was crisp in Japan.
You call that crisp?
Do it fast over there. That was Seattle,
Jim, Oakland. They do it fast over there.
Yeah.
Fast.
11 years ago, I was in Japan.
You think 325 is fast?
I was there. I was. That was joke. I was making sarcasm.
Okay. I don't know with you.
Were they playing the Twins? The Red Sox?
No, it was same. It was the A's.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, they played. And it's weird. They played two games against the A's in Japan that counted. And then they flew back to Los Angeles, and they played exhibition games against the Dodgers that did not count. And then they went and opened the season in Oakland, and then they went to Toronto.
Huh.
It was the goofiest trip of all time. Tito was not happy about it. But it's weird to play real games and then come back and play preseason games. And that's what's happening with the Mariners and the A's today. They played a crisp 324 over in Japan there.
Five pitchers for the Mariners, seven pitchers for the A's.
Well, glad to see they're all getting the message.
So, sounds like fun.
The average time of a game this year is 324. With one in the books.
One in the books, that's why. It's the only one. All right, so we started talking today. Hot topic stuff here as the spring is getting going here with the draft right around the corner. Both winter teams going to the playoffs, Celtics and Bruins. Has a Celtic fan told you why this team will go deep and why they will win and why you shouldn't be worried?
Oh, sure.
Oh, have they? I think they're heading the other way.
Well, I'm telling you.
I'm talking about the perception of the team and the way fans look at
them. The win at Golden State sticks with people. They go out there and they beat them by 33 points, and everybody goes, hey, wow, they can do it. And they can. They have the talent to do this. It's a tall order. It's unlikely. It's probably not going to happen. At some point, if they get knocked out in the second round or something, people are just going to say, you know, this team was never right all year. And we were hoping against hope that they would flip the switch and be the team they can be in the playoffs. It did not happen.
So you should like the Bruins. You should love the Bruins. You should like the way they play for each other. They're tough. They're physical. They have each other's back late in games. They're clutching late, similar to what the Red Sox were last year, where you didn't matter how long the game would go, we'll still wear it out. We'll find a way to win it. The Bruins do that. But yet it's still just like it doesn't seem people are jumping on that bandwagon because say they do get popped in the first round, and maybe it's up against a good team. Well, hey, it was a good year for them.
We've become, you know, with all the championships,
like people won't be pissed by
all
that.
The success, excuse me, it's like, it's playoffs. Wait for the playoffs.
Yeah, but it's not really like that in hockey because I think hockey is the slow build where you have to sort of plan your days with your goalie, keep him fresh.
Right.
Or get going. Like if you get too hot too early, that can hurt you. I don't think you'd say that with hoops.
That was the notion before the Bruins had that little two-game losing streak and they won, went 19 games in a row without losing. No, don't get too hot too early, but I think that, you know, everybody in this town right now, I feel that they wait for the playoffs because it's like maybe not at the Patriots as much, although you kind of know where it's going, and it's very hard. Baseball, it's hard to get geared up for the regular season because you really don't know how good your team is until October.
Yeah.
And that's the case with the baseball team, as good as they are.
Let's say the Celtics get popped in a first round. This place will go nuts around here.
That would be bad, especially if they were in
Indiana. Even the Celtics, even without playing and getting popped in the first round of the playoffs, would be the number one talker here.
That would be bad.
What the hell do you do? Do you sign him? Do you bring him back? Do you even want Anthony Davis at this point?
Well, of course. I mean, and Danny Ainge does. Danny Ainge likes talent. He likes Kyrie Irving. He likes Anthony Davis. And that's going to be the interesting part of what happens once the playoffs are over. So you got the playoffs in front of you.
Yeah.
You got Irving July 1st. You got Davis. What's going to happen?
617-779-0985. And even with the Patriots stuff, is you continue to go with this Gronkowski saga and, you know, the draft and people looking to them and, you know, the RKK situation. You could say that they're even up there more as a talker.
Like, do you think that the team
it's tough
knows,
for the baseball team to get cranked up and going as a talker?
Does the team know about Gronk? Like, we don't know, but the team knows?
I think if you're the team builder, you would know.
It just seems like
it makes sense.
They have to know.
Based on what Willie McGinnis said again last week, that if I was Gronkowski, for what I'm hearing, start the season retired, stay in shape,
get
the itch, and come back.
I didn't hear that. Okay.
Oh, you haven't heard that yet?
No, I like that.
Okay. Jim, can we tee up that Willie McGinnis sound that we played yesterday and last week? Dan hasn't heard it yet, but if he could kind of rephrase it, because I think the retirement word is such a strong word.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I've even said this, where why should you keep the 52nd, 53rd active spot on the roster open for that last special team that's going to need? Why don't you keep that open for Gronkowski? He's not going to play in the preseason anyway. Keep him around the game of football. Draft a tight end. Have that guy do all the work, take the hits, and then crank up the big boy. Here's Willie McGinnis last week on NFL Network.
Have you talked to Gronk recently?
I have not.
Okay. Any insight whatsoever? Drew Rosenhaus said yesterday that he truly has not made up his mind.
I think Gronk's going to take a break for a while. I don't think he's going to...
Like a whole while?
I don't think he's initially going to start off and come back. I think he's going to figure it out. And I think later on, and this is just my own assessment, later on deep in the season, he could possibly come back and play.
I want to make sure I'm clear with what you're saying. You're saying that you don't expect Rob Gronkowski to go to camp?
No, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to start off the season by being retired. And I think he's going to get the itch. I think he's going to be in great shape. And he's going to probably have that feeling that, hey, I want to come back and
like
play
a
football.
Jason Witten kind of thing? Like take a
not
full year off?
Not a full year.
So do you think he knows something, or he's just kind of stabbing it?
I mean, that's pretty strong. And Willie doesn't just throw crap against the wall to see what sticks. He's very well informed, does his homework, talks to a lot of people. I mean, he is a Guerrero guy. He's the one who introduced Brady to Guerrero. I think Willie would have wanted that. I think Willie's telling you what these guys want at the end of their careers. Like when Willie got hurt here at the end, he was still making good money. Romeo became the head coach in Cleveland and offered him a lot of money to go try and instill that locker room culture there. And Willie kind of fizzled out there, but that's kind of what you want. Work with me, let me take care of my body, and I'm still going to go out and I'm still play hard for you. It's sort of what they've had with Gronkowski, though. Coming off of injuries, you remember the one year where he finally was active that Jet game, and they targeted him like 11 times, and he was like all worn out. And what was it, 2 years ago, he just said, I just don't feel like myself. Some days I have it, some days I don't.
So you think Bill would be okay with this plan, too?
I think he should be. Yeah. I mean, like, so here you are.
Sure.
All right, you've won three of the last four. You know, you've been to the Super Bowl, four out of the last 5 years? So you're sitting there and you're looking at it. Okay, Rob's had some of the biggest plays down the stretch for us.
Yep.
That Pittsburgh game, that game they lost against the Eagles, the catch he had, the two catches, the final drive against the Rams. You're not winning if he doesn't make that or be on the field. So, I mean, at some point, he did this with Mark Bavaro to help relieve some of that strain. Roman Pfeiffer had family elsewhere. He was allowed to leave, come back Wednesday. If I'm them, I say, hey, you play Sunday, see you Wednesday. You don't have to lift. You don't have to squat, run, do the things we've asked you to do, power clean in the past.
Yeah.
Just be 90% of yourself. Be strong. Do whatever you need to do to be strong, whether it's bands, whether it's machines, whatever. But still be able to come off the ball, still be able to block, still be able to be effective in the passing game. And I think you can come to terms with that. We'll keep your number the same. You're not going to play preseason. There might be a game or two we rest you.
Yeah.
You know, see what the young kid looks like. So
it's interesting. There's always been a part of Belichick that reminds me of Red Auerbach, because I knew Red and I saw the way it worked here all those years. And Red treated Bill Russell that way. I mean, he didn't have to practice. He said, I know I'm going to get the full 48 when the games count, and we'll figure it out. Whatever you need to do to be ready for that, we'll live with that.
I think certain guys earn that at some point. You know, Brady has earned that. Edelman has earned that. I think Gronkowski has. All right, we got time for one more call here. Let's go to shocker right here, calling out those Bruins fans. Mike in Medford, you're up next here on Sports Hub.
What's up, Zo?
What's up,
Zo? How you doing, Dan?
How's your Bruins, Mike?
I love them. But for you to say that Bruins fans wouldn't be upset if they got bumped in the first round couldn't be further from the truth.
What if you lost to the Lightning early in the playoffs?
Well, that's second round.
You
said first round.
What about Washington? What about Washington?
They're not going to play Washington.
It's going to be Toronto.
Be Toronto. They're going to play Toronto.
So what if? So the only acceptance for them not advancing is losing to Washington or Tampa.
No, there's no acceptance at all. I see the Bruins going to the conference finals this year. I think they're going to give Tampa Bay a hell of a lot more harder a time than last year.
But if they get past...
That's for damn sure.
They could win the Stanley Cup if they get to the conference finals, because the hard teams...
Are early.
The hardest teams the second round.
God, the hockey playoffs suck.
Which Dan, the playoff format sucks in the NHL.
Yeah, it's so bad.
But I want to get to last night's game. I know nobody, no team is perfect, okay? Not even Tampa. They're not perfect, but last night could be the closest you can come to playing in a mistake-free, flawless, perfect game. Do you realize the Bruins had more shots on net than the Islanders had attempts to shoot on net?
13.
That's ridiculous. And they beat the best 5-on-5 defensive team in the league.
So where's it put you? What's it do for you? Huh? Where's it put you right now?
It puts me on cloud nine right now.
Puts you on cloud nine.
That's what it puts me.
What do
you
think?
Puts me right now because I have a funny feeling, and you know me when it comes to Tuca.
Yeah.
But I have a funny feeling this could be the year of the wrath.
You think Bergeron's getting a 30? They may have 30 goal guys on that line.
Best line in hockey, by none.
Hell yeah.
Best line in hockey. And I tell you right now, after last night, if Tampa's going to concentrate on Bergeron, you're in trouble.
All right. I lost you there, Mark. Lost your phone coverage there. But, you know, hey, as long as they stay healthy, too, you know, you're getting Pasternak back. You know, DeBrusk has been so big for this team the past month and a half. He's got to stay healthy. And, man, just 13. If you could play defense and play in the back end like you did and only limit 13 shots on goal, Jesus, Tuca, stop 12.
Yeah. So this isn't going to surprise you, but the Globe has a story. Robert Kraft rejects plea offer from Florida prosecutors in soliciting prostitution case. Rejected a plea that would have required him, blah, blah, blah.
So this is breaking news here?
Yeah.
It just came out.
A Kraft ally said on Wednesday. So it's a person familiar with the strategy. He says he's officially taken it and turned it down.
So this is not coming from the team or Robert. This is coming from an ally or a friend of Robert.
CNN right. reporting it.
TJ Quinn reported something like this last night, saying that it was a non-starter.
TJ Quinn said it's an absolute non-starter. He's not going to do this or take this. But we don't have an official from the... I just want to be careful.
Yeah, CNN is saying that Kraft has rejected it, according to an ally
close to
him.
Fighting to the end.
So that's according to them, and they're the first guys on that. But you're right. Globe just tweeted that a minute ago as well.
Okay, add that to your Hub headline.
It's ready.
Sarge is ready to go. Hub headlines. Dan's dates are next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
All right. 12:38, time for Dan's Dates. Dan on a 4-hour power hour here.
I know.
For our show. Yeah, come on, let's go. You got to elevate the excitement.
Okay, March 20th.
Hey, you know what? March 20th, this being March 20th, this time next year, if you're in on March 20th. That was the date we pissed everybody off, reading the awful music bands that are going to be played at Woodstock.
Yes.
Everybody's so offended on
next year's dates.
I don't like your music. Big
we'll
deal.
Have that. It's the first day of spring, which I think is a few hours away.
Today?
Yeah, late in the afternoon.
I feel like it.
Turns into the equinox, whatever you got there. Carl Reiner is 97 today. Now, who knows who Carl Reiner is?
Rob Reiner's brother.
It's his dad.
Dad.
And he was the genius behind the Dick Van Dyke Show. Oh. And he was actually on the show. He was Dick Van Dyke's boss. I can't remember his name. Mel Cooley was the assistant. Anyway, Carl Reiner, a comic genius, good friend of Mel Brooks, all that. 97 today.
Mel Cooley, I thought he was like a basketball
Mel Cooley
coach.
Was Carl Reiner's assistant in the show. Glasses, tall guy, bald, whatever. Brian Mulroney is 80 today, the former Canadian Prime Minister. Pat Riley. How old do you think Pat Riley is today, Zoe? Still got the good hair.
50. I'm going to go 75.
He's 74, and he's from Schenectady, New York.
Jimmy's from Schenectady.
Yeah.
Wait, so he was born, I mean, he was, his birthday was a day after they lost the national championship game to Texas Western? Wasn't that like yesterday?
Correct. Yes. Would have been the next day. It was the eve of his birthday, and he made the cover of Sports Illustrated playing defense in that game.
Jim, didn't we have a call about Coach Schenectady?
Well,
Carl Reiner is Ocean's 11, the old guy in Ocean's 11, by the way. That's how you
know. I forgot that.
Oh.
Yeah, he made a comeback.
He's good, Matt.
Very good. Very good.
Victor Borgar, right?
The best birthday of today is, you know, goes without saying. Borgar, everyone, I think, knows that Bobby Orr is 71 today. Yeah. The greatest hockey player who ever lived in our midst. Great charity guy. Is just the best guy ever. The most humble superstar you will ever meet, Bobby Orr. You know, drives himself around anywhere, does any charity stuff you ask for. We love Bobby
Orr. Nice guy. Like Mark Capello, like losing his mind today, our producer during Patriots games. Like, oh, shout out to Bobby Orr, all our Facebook and that. Yeah.
God.
He didn't even know.
It's all because of Dante Schenectady.
Yep, Schenectady.
I forgot that. William Hurt. You know who that is, though? You know William Hurt.
No, the Big Hurt.
That's Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas.
William Hurt. Famous actor. Body Heat. He's with Kathleen Turner. He's the male lead in that. Big Chill. He was in that.
Broadcast News, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe you don't know. William Hurt is 69 years old today. Spike Lee is 62 years old today.
He looks young.
And Holly Hunter, who starred with William Hurt in Broadcast News, is 61 today.
Okay.
They were born the same day. She's had a good career. Stuff that happened on March 20th. As has been pointed out by more than one person, in 1760, a 10-hour fire erupted in Boston, destroying 349 buildings and burning 10 ships. But no lives were taken. No souls were lost. Amazing. Great Fire of 1760. In 1815, on March 20th, Napoleon Bonaparte returned to Paris after escaping his exile.
Take his hand out of his pocket in the front?
No, I think it stayed there. He was just hiding something, a little derringer or something like that. Something going on. 1854, the Republican Party was founded.
Nice.
In Wisconsin, of all places.
Right.
In 1942, on March 20th, General Douglas MacArthur, having evacuated the Philippines at the order of President Roosevelt, told reporters in Australia, "I shall return."
We shall return, yeah.
Yes. I think they staged the photo in that, too. Like, he returned twice coming ashore. You know, they had to get it just right for the picture.
My grandfather, Bill Riley, was in his battalion there. He was part of that. Yeah. So, United States Army.
Did you ever get to talk to him about it?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
It was his hero.
Does he get pissed when you salute?
Because you were never a soldier? He is now since deceased.
How would he feel about the salute?
No problem with it.
Really?
Him. Oh, yeah. They have no... A lot of the guys are cool. So.
Yeah. Well,
but you know what? I don't care. We're on the same team.
That's a very good question.
We're on the same team. Okay? Continue with the segment.
This is my... 1969, which is 50 years ago today, the year of Woodstock, the year of the New York Mets, year of a lot of stuff. Joe Namath, Super Bowl, all that stuff. On this date, in March 20th, John Lennon married Yoko Ono in Gibraltar.
Ooh.
They couldn't find a place where they could get married. It's in the song, The Ballad of John and Yoko. And Gibraltar, anybody been there?
No.
It's a great trip. I covered the golf at Valderrama, Spain in the Ryder Cup. Went down to Gibraltar for the day. There's wild monkeys running around Gibraltar.
Shut up.
It's a province of Spain.
Mikey Adams will like it down there.
And you can see Morocco from Gibraltar. You can see Africa. So you're actually looking across the Straits of Gibraltar, which of course was the key to the Mediterranean.
If you could open the window and see Argentina, what do you get if you open the door?
What?
Chili.
Oh, see? Is that like Sarah Palin seeing Russia from her porch? Okay, another good one. 1976, kidnapped newspaper heiress Patricia Hearst was convicted of armed robbery for her part in San Francisco bank holdup carried out by the Symbionese Liberation Army. Of course, she was kidnapped and then caved into the Stockholm Syndrome and became a sympathizer with her captives and then participated in the bank robbery. And she's like a upholding citizen now, married citizen. Zoe, why are you taking apart? If you're watching the simulcast, Zoe's taking the studio apart here now.
Yeah. It's Charlie.
I was nowhere near
that. My friend Charlie.
It's a new studio.
Okay.
All right, Zoe, you might remember this. On this date in 1990, Gloria
Estefan.
And the Miami Sound Machine. Right. She suffered a broken back when a truck rear-ended her tour bus.
I remember
on a
that.
Snow-covered highway in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I remember that. I'm a Pennsylvania kid.
She was able to make a comeback after surgery and months of intensive physical
therapy.
They
said no more conga for her.
Is she not part owner of the Dolphins?
She used to be.
I think she used to be,
and Mark Anthony and that whole crew. Yeah.
Miami Sound Machine right there. God, they're tanking. They're like a baseball team, right? They're trying to lose next year.
Oh, no, they're going to win games with Fitzpatrick.
Oh,
they'll go 8-8.
No, they will not.
They can coach.
On this date, March 20th, Einstein released his theory of relativity, which I don't really understand still, but it's all relative. And on this date, Are you aware that Mike Francesa was born this date?
Oh, yeah. You just got called out by Funhouse on Twitter.
I mean, who? What? Me?
Yeah, it's like you can't believe that you forgot Francesa's birthday.
I can't believe I'm older than him. That's what's killing me. Boy, that is
he's
not
the
good.
Pope.
That is not good.
Yeah, I mean, I consider, and I can do this. I've been doing this for 30 years. You gonna tell me how to do it? I think we do a pretty good job.
God, older
that's
than
number
pope.
One.
That's not good.
We get a new pope yet?
If had he lived, Mr. Rogers would have been 91 today.
Wow,
he's no longer with us, as far as I know. And Sarge, I'm told there's some goofy wrestling stuff today.
Yeah, a couple wrestling things. You want a couple sports things, though?
Yeah, what do you got?
Big one here. 1989, baseball announcing that Pete Rose is under investigation when he was the manager of the Reds. That's a sore subject with you there, right?
Mark Giamatti, yeah.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. They should make him commissioner now. I mean, it's still in with the Gamblers. It's
why
like,
not?
What the hell?
Sure.
They're good.
Yeah.
We tightened it up. We're good.
Yeah. Patty Hearst, convicted armed robbery 76.
Yeah, you weren't listening.
All right, here we go. Wrestling. Yeah. 25 years ago today, WrestleMania 10, Madison Square Garden. And today is Sting's birthday. The wrestler Sting, not the...
I saw
Sting.
That.
Sting.
I thought Sting, you know,
yes.
Fields of not that one. Barley, whatever. But
yeah,
no.
No, Sting. 60 years old, Sting today. Going to see him next month at WrestleCon.
All right. Head coach, Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. He will join us live next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
All right, let's get right out to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline to bring in the head coach of your Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. Coach, it's Scott Zolak, Dan Shaughnessy, and Mike Riley with you. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Coach. Real quick, nice tribute to Isaiah Thomas the other night. Fair to say that everything was handled and seems like he really enjoyed it and saw you embrace. Quick thought on that.
No, I thought it was really good, and got a chance to spend a little time with him after the game, and then see him real briefly before. But you know, it was great to see him again, and we've stayed in touch, you know, fairly consistently since he left. You know, obviously, he had an incredible couple of years or 2.5 years here, and I thought our team took on his personality in a lot of ways during those years, where he was a guy that had a chip on his shoulder, a guy that loved to compete. He really loved to work. I think that's one of the things that has probably maybe been told, but maybe not told enough. He was always the first guy in the gym shooting prior to the game. He was always finding a gym on the road. The guy loved to work. He loved the game. And so I really appreciated the opportunity to spend that 2.5 years with him.
Now, Gordon Hayward not going tonight, correct? He's out?
Correct. He's going through the concussion protocol.
And I don't know if that's a good it's a good thing to say, hey, you missed Gordon Hayward. And I mean it if I could just say that, you know, he's gotten to a place where he's playing good basketball, maybe the best basketball since his injury. And to depend on a guy like that, that's good that you miss him, right? Because that means he's part of what you're doing here.
There's no question about it. And he played great against Philly last time we played here. So, you know, we're going to have to make up for him in his absence. But I do think, like, we, you know, the thing about him that even early in the year as he was getting back his legs under him was just he makes the right decisions. You know, he makes the right play, and he's unselfish. So there will be games where – And I know that we often judge his performance based on how many points he scores, but there'll be games where he shoots 6 times. You know, there'll be games when he shoots 12. There'll be games when he shoots 18, because when he comes off of a screen, if he's got 2 on him, he's going to move it. And I think the area in which his improvement has been the most as the season gone on is defensively. You can see that he's much more confident moving and being able to use his versatility and all the switching than he was at the start of the season. And that's helped us quite a bit. So the offense has never really been a concern for me. It's been making sure that he gets back to feeling good enough to guard different guys in different positions, because, you know, one of the keys in this NBA is being versatile and being able to match up all over the place with their 1 through 4, because there's a lot of similarities as you go team to team and people really playing small and spaced.
Brad, you've announced that Al Horford's going to get some days off down the stretch here. Do you know which days you're going to play and which days you're going to rest him yet, or is that pending?
We've talked about it in a more of a general term, Dan. I think that we'll probably try to rest him 2 or 3 games here as we head into the end of the season. He's had a great run since he last took time and has played well. And so one of the things that we want to do for him is he's really important to us. That's an understatement. Just because that is the position where we, you know, if we're missing a wing or missing a guard, you've got a lot of other guys that are available. And if you're missing Al, that hurts your flexibility and being able to play big, because he can play the 4 next to any of those other 5s, and or he can play the stretch 5. So he's a really, really important part of our team. We want him feeling great as we head into the postseason. So that's been something that we've been planning all along and have talked to him about.
Well, and you've got 2 games with Indiana left, and the split's 1 game between the two of you now. I mean, how do you balance the risk-reward of resting Al and finishing ahead of the Pacers for the playoffs?
Yeah, that's really hard. I mean, the bottom line, I guess what I would say there is we need everybody feeling great as we head in there. And at the same time, if somebody's not available to play, whether it's because Gordon Hayward has a concussion or we choose to rest somebody so that they're great the next night or the next week or 2 weeks from now, then we expect the next person to step up and play well and give us a chance to win. And, you know, when we haven't had Al this year, we have played well at times. In fact, we played pretty well. And with Baines back healthy, that gives us a little bit more flexibility here in these regular season games. You know, to do that. But that is you don't even look at the standings in our position usually until later on in the year. And now it's, you know, there is very little separation between that 4 seed. And certainly if we're able to have success tonight, you know, I think obviously as well with Philly, only 2.5 games ahead.
In your experience and as a sports fan and as a competitor, how important is home court in the playoffs?
Well, I think it can be very important. Obviously, I think our home court is one of the biggest advantages, right? And certainly playing in the Garden in that crowd and in that environment is special. And is certainly, you know, a big reason why we were where we were at the end of the year last year. Like, when you think about it, if that Milwaukee series goes 7 and 4 of those games are in Milwaukee, we may not have played Philly. And, you know, I thought we played really well in Milwaukee 1 time out of 3. I thought we played well in Philly 1 out of 2. I didn't think we played well in Cleveland in any of them. And so part of that was, you know, part of that may have been, you know, a new experience for our guys, but the home court kind of carried us through until that last game where we didn't play as well. But I do think it can be important, but the bottom line is we're not going to get it. So at the end of the day, it's much more important. And when I say we're not going to get it, we're not going to get into the top 2. We're not going to be there the whole time through the playoffs if we're fortunate enough to advance. So what's got to be more important for this group is playing well and making sure that we control possession to possession, whether it's home or on the road.
Coach, last one for you. There was a sequence the other night, and you held yourself accountable for it, you know, calling that timeout to set up the play, and said it ended up impacting the fourth quarter. Do you truly believe it impacted the fourth quarter? And, yeah, you can't take those timeouts with you, but if you're in the same situation again, would you do it?
Yeah, I would do it again because you get a chance to – you know, possessions matter in that game, right? In a 2-point game, I would be a lot more clear on the safeties options, you know, and that's kind of a take a knee type thing in football, right? I would say that generally, like if we didn't have, because I lose that timeout if I don't, if I take it into the fourth.
Right.
Generally, I would say that I probably would take it, but obviously that was the worst possible ending to that quarter, unless they hit a, unless we foul the guy that back cut us on the dunk. So ultimately, I think, you know, in retrospect, in that game, would I take that timeout again? I'd probably just let us inbound it. Let's move on to the fourth quarter. Would I, will I do it again? I'll probably take it again because. It has been impactful, and you can, if you can steal points, it's a positive. And you don't, and, you know, I, and I've always kind of been of the ilk in those situations. Like you look on the upside, not the downside, but I thought it hurt us the other night. And the reason I say that is because it, it bled into the fourth quarter. And that's a problem, that we have to be better. We have to be able to move on to the next play a lot better than we were. But at the same time, you know, I played a role in that, and it'd be silly not to, be accountable for that.
And we promise we're letting you go, but I just have to ask before we let you go. I know these are big games, big deal going on here, and you got a family to take care of, but do you carve out any time to watch the tournament this week?
Oh boy.
Yeah. And Dan, I'm happy we're on the road, right? Because because we
Buffalo
do get
Wild
a chance
Wings. You have to go Buffalo Wild will, Wings, right?
My TV will be on and but my kids, you know, my kids weren't old enough to remember much of the Butler runs, but they go back and watch them on YouTube now, and they're and so now they're totally into it. I called my wife at 10:15 last night, and my kids were both in bed with her watching one of my good friends in coaching's Rick Bird, and watching Belmont play, and yeah, we love it. I mean, this is the best part about coming to the NBA and leaving college is that I can just be a fan. So now I get to enjoy the tournament with everybody else, and I will definitely have it on in my room. I'm not going to lie about that, Dan.
Did your kids watch the old Hayward videos and did hippie hair until he finally found a groomer and got his hair done the right way after he got money?
Hey, they watch all that good stuff. He was awfully good for us in those runs. Those really were special things. Like you talked about, I've been asked a lot, what's the difference between coaching in the playoffs or advancing a playoff round, coaching the NCAA tournament, just the highs of it if you're able to win. Since I haven't been to a finals and haven't been lucky enough to stand on that stage at the end, I don't know what it is. But there's not a high like getting into the tournament and then advancing in it. It is pretty special. And so, you know, I really get a kick out of the teams that haven't done it before and, like, I can't root harder for the guys that I'm friends with to get a chance to experience that.
All right, Coach, good luck tonight against Philly. Go get them.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, see ya. Area's head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. And, still watches the tournament.
He still loves the college tournament. Good for you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.